Heidi's here to talk about the Lighthouse YMCA on the corner of Pine and Lincoln.
Correct.
And about all the great things happening there, and whether it be programs, events, facilities. So however you want to dive into that big area, we'll run with you. So welcome to KRFY.
Thank you. Yeah. No, one of my favorite things to talk about is the YMCA. I have a long history with the YMCA. I started working for the Y back in the Seattle area. I think it was 2006. So I have been with the organization for a long time. It was kind of by mistake that I applied for a position with them. I didn't have a huge history growing up with the Y other than some programming and summer camps. And when I first got my job with the YMCA in the Seattle area, I very quickly fell in love with what the Y stands for and what they do for our community. So that's why I was very excited when I saw that the Y had come to Sandpoint, which is why I applied there. I didn't actually work for the YMCA originally in Sandpoint. I was a teacher up in Bonners Ferry.
Ah, so you know the area.
A bit, yeah. So okay. I was here a little bit before I started working for the YMCA. But I was very eager to see that a YMCA was coming to the Sandpoint area. So.
Okay, now that we have you here, and how long has that been?
How long have I worked for the YMCA?
No, how long have you been here in Sandpoint?
Oh, about 10 years now.
Oh, okay. And so YMCA arrives, and what's your job do? You're executive director, and besides coming on the air at the radio station, what all is that you do, and what all does the Y here do in town?
Well, so I guess what I do for my job, that's a funny question. I don't think that it's ever the same thing. I would say that probably a lot of people that work for nonprofits would agree with me that you wear a lot of different hats when you work for a nonprofit. There's always something different going on every single day, and so you just kind of have to be able to walk in the door and be ready for whatever comes your way. So I guess one thing I kind of wanted to go over, Jack and I had kind of discussed this a little bit earlier, is a little bit of how the YMCA even got to the Sandpoint area, because that's kind of an interesting story in and of itself.
Okay.
And so I guess what had happened is there was a group of people, the Sandpoint and Pondere Athletic Recreation Group, and they called themselves Spark. And so this group of people, it was a bunch of locals, and they really wanted to have a community center here in Sandpoint that could impact lives of youth, teens, adults, seniors, pretty much the entire community. So they would meet on a weekly basis, for coffee, just talking about how are we going to make this happen. And so what ended up happening is, as some people know, that the YMCA on Pine Street didn't used to always be a YMCA. So previously it was the Sandpoint West Athletic Club. Did you guys ever go there when it was SWAC?
I live a block and a half from it, and that's with Don and Sue Helander.
Correct.
Okay. Yes, so I am familiar.
Yeah, so Don and Sue, and a great thanks to them, they worked alongside that group of locals, Spark, with Spark and then the Helanders and the YMCA. They kind of collaborated to work when Don and Sue were ready to step out of that that business. They worked together on a price point that a nonprofit, that would be feasible for the nonprofit world.
Okay.
And so a huge thanks to them, because they were a key factor in bringing the YMCA to Sandpoint. And alongside them, as well as Lighthouse Foods, should also get a really big mention here, because they were our founding donor. So together, that whole group made it happen so that the YMCA could come here to Sandpoint. And I will say, I never went to SWAC, so it's hard for me to say how it technically is different. But we do, from our members, get a idea that it has changed. So do you have anything that you've noticed?
I've had several people. Well, I'm also now a member of Lighthouse YMCA.
Oh, great.
So I transitioned. Well, I'd like to go back. I don't know if you, Jack, have heard this, got this question from some people. What does Lighthouse have to do with it? I mean, if Jack and I donated a bunch of money, it could be the Peterson Healy YMCA?
Well, technically, yeah, technically, yes.
What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, I think we should consider that.
Okay, but, so some people might say, do they sell salad dressing there? Or what's the relationship between the YMCA and Lighthouse?
So it's kind of interesting. Lighthouse Foods, we have very similar values to the models that stand behind our organizations and business. So they were excited to partner with us. And in fact, they've actually started a movement to make a model where they have, they're sponsoring other YMCAs near other factories. And so they really were a huge piece of this picture. And yes, technically, if an individual were to donate a certain amount of money, you could have your name on a YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much that would be. I would assume it's a large number.
But it does make sense, you know, in terms of, let's say, a business like Lighthouse that has employees in the area to benefit the organization by having healthy employees who are, and what better way than to invest in the community than an organization like YMCA and what it does.
Yeah, and I think that's why they really stand behind us, because of, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you belong to the Lighthouse YMCA gym, or you go to the gym. And as someone, you know, who's been in the YMCA for a long time, there's a saying that we use that we're so much more than a gym, because we really are. We're not just a gym. We really are more of a community center, and beyond a community center, a unique thing about the YMCA is that we don't always operate within the four walls of our gym. We often go out into schools. We do programming. Last year we did a junior lifeguarding program with the middle school. So we do get out into the community. We partner with other nonprofits. So we are a lot more than just a gym. And we always try to make sure that everybody understands that. We really truly are a place that we want to be a community center where people of all ages can come to learn and grow and thrive, feel connected, feel confident, feel secure. That's really a large part of our mission.
Changes. This might be a question for Jim. You've been to both SWAC and the YMCA.
Right.
Do you know, you notice anything different between the two when it was SWAC versus now when it's the YMCA?
You know, in terms of, you notice a health club like that, a community center, you notice it as you come engaged with it. I go over there and I walk on the machines. I should do that more often. And I have noticed the upgrading of the machines. The facilities are, and the staff, you know, like I'll go and say, soap is out of the third, and they'll be right on it. You know, nothing's worse than hopping into a shower, getting all wet, and there's no snow soap. But I have found that the transition has been seamless. I should use the, I have to make a confession. Can I make a confession?
Sure.
Okay. I live a block and a half from from the building. And so I pass it in the morning and I come home in the evening, and if I haven't been there, I feel sort of guilty. You know, it's not like I live out on Coburn Culver and coming in to the YMCA. So,
yeah,
it's a guilt producer, and I don't know if you should write that into your description, but I need to. But it I think, you know, in terms of, I run into a lot of friends there, and I enjoy the panel of television sets, though I listen to my own music and am usually reading a magazine. But I have not noticed, I've noticed an upgrade of the machines. But I could not tell you about like the weights, you know, the different things like that. So I think the staff and the people have just been top notch.
Yeah.
So that's mine.
That's your take on it.
Yeah.
Heidi,
yes.
You were talking about, before I asked Jim that question, you were talking about, I guess, what more you guys do outside of the health club walls. Do you have anything in particular coming to mind that you want to highlight?
We helped out at the elementary schools with the art programs. Like I said, we did a junior lifeguarding program. We're trying to start a teen leadership program. That's something that I did over in the Seattle area that I'd be really excited to introduce into this area. We also, like I was saying, we kind of partner with other nonprofits.
Yeah.
So we have a huge safety around water program that we collaborate with the Longbridge Swim on. So originally, it's technically their program, but we partner by use of the facility. We share staff to put that on, and it really is a huge program. And last year, actually, I think maybe this will be, we've been doing it for 2 years now. We even included schools up in Bonner's Ferry now, so they come down and participate in that program. And so really it's, the Y is really unique in that it's not just a cookie cutter organization. So, you know, maybe you have certain restaurant chains or certain coffee chains that if you go to that restaurant in New York, it's going to be the same exact experience if you go to it in Idaho. And the YMCA is a little bit different in the fact that, yes, we are technically a global organization. But when we move into a community, we really assess what that community needs, and then we try to meet the needs of that community. Mm-hmm. And so, like I was saying, yes, we are a gym. We do have treadmills. We do have weights. We do have group exercise classes. But, you know, we do everything else, like swim lessons. We have, like I was saying, the teen program. You can bring your kids and have them go into our child watch while you're working out. You can have coffee with seniors. We have game nights for families. So there's just all sorts of stuff that goes on at the YMCA that, as I was saying before, make it more than a gym.
And that's one of the things I notice when I walk in. Right immediately to the left is the room with child watch. And, you know, I would say that anyone who is interested in finding out more, they can go to the website at...
It's YMCAINW, like Inland Northwest, .org.
And that gives you the hours, that gives you all the... But probably the best thing to do is to stop by and take a tour.
I would agree. I mean, you can get on the website and you can kind of get the website version. But like you said, we have a phenomenal staff. I think that's one of my favorite parts about working for the YMCA here in Sandpoint is we just have an amazing staff. I think we nearly hire around 80 people now, which is bigger than some people think. But it doesn't feel that big. And we just feel like this really close knit family. And everybody has the same mission of, you know, impacting our community in a really positive way. And whether that's smiling at you when you walk through the door or helping you, you know, get to your group exercise class or connecting you with someone else because you're new to the community. That's what we do.
Well, you know, I have to admit, though, that, you know, with all of the guilt that I have had to live with, I have thought, you know, while I'm on the treadmill, why can't I hire someone to walk on the treadmill for me and I get the benefits? You know, let's say we get a dozen young people, you know, and you give them what you want to work out at, but you get the benefits. You know, that could be something, Heidi, that I think it has potential.
I think it does too. Let me know when you get that figured out.
Right. I think the need is there. I think, yeah, there's some problems probably at the execution. It's, but yeah, you're between step one and step three. There's a
Has the recent impact of pickleball, you know, hit the YMCA? Because I know that you have courts, and I see squash players, I see handball players, I see racquetball players, and back in the day, I used to do most of those things, and but they're very active, and I see a ping pong table, I see
foosball.
The foosball, that's right, and then pickleball, but of course not now. But you're in a cluster of, you know, right across the street is the skate park, and then the new structure, you know, that becomes the community center health air hub of Sandpoint.
It really is, yeah. To answer your question, I mean, we do have a pickleball court. Actually, I think I played pickleball last month because it has not snowed. So we kept our nets up just a little bit longer for anybody who wanted to brave the cold. But, you know, I mean, pickleball, to answer your question, we have these courts, and something neat that happened last year is because we're a nonprofit, you know, we don't always have the funds to do every single project that we would want to do when we want to do it. And we had a member who is a pretty avid pickleball player, and he came to me and said, hey, you know, our pickleball courts, they're looking a little rusty there. And he's like, do you mind if I just come in and volunteer, and I'll bring a group of people and we will repaint them, we'll restripe them, and get some new nets? And so that was a project that was done by a member who just was kind enough to volunteer to do that. It made a huge upgrade. And so it's really nice for our members to be able to go out there and have a nice court to play on. I know that court time can be challenging to get in this town as pickleball has really exploded.
Skyrocketed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a little bit of a, I guess it would be a tiny perk to being a member at the Y, is there's usually availability on the pickleball court.
That would be Jack. If you went over to the Lighthouse YMCA, what would you head towards? The pool?
The pool.
Weights? The pool?
I would. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be my, that's what I miss in the wintertime is the, yeah, the ability to,
now, do you,
to
go. Do you have swimming. Open hours for, Jack has a young son.
I do.
And are there open times for families to go swimming?
Okay, now that's a tricky one because the pools, yes, there is open hours. I can't, I'm not going to recite them here
now. No, absolutely not.
Because that is tricky. The pool, that's one of the projects that hopefully in the future is we really want to try to work towards expanding that facility. That was one of the original thoughts as we were talking about Don and Sue Helander, as well as the Spark Advisory Board. We really wanted to try to expand that facility, and a larger pool is something that we definitely, this community could definitely benefit from, and the YMCA could also benefit from in what we have to offer. So the pool is a tricky area because since we only have one pool, I can't, I can have you do a group exercise class in a different space, but I only have one pool. And so we have to work as work all together to share that space. So, yes, we have open hours. And the best thing is to call the YMCA to ask about those open hours.
And the number is?
It's 208-263-6633.
Okay. And when you here's a question. When you talk about expanding that area, does the Lighthouse YMCA own the property to the south of, you know, that huge field?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so that is a potential one day when Peterson Healy make the massive donation.
Yes.
That'll be the...
The Peterson Healy Aquatic Center.
Exactly.
Aquatic Center. Yeah. Perfect, perfect. I like it. We are with Heidi Cobol.
Bohol.
Bohol. I get so excited because, you know, I'll have to talk about my relationship with YMCA back in the mid-50s when I was a kid growing up. I would pedal my little bike in South Bend, Indiana, and on Saturdays learn how to swim. And I must have been in fourth or fifth grade and loving it.
Yeah.
And a place to go. But we're going to take a break with Heidi, and we'll come back and talk more about the Lighthouse YMCA. Now, everybody, stand up. take a swill of your coffee, push back the chair, and get ready. Guess what song Jack and I and Heidi were going to play now? So be ready for it. Okay, that is The Village People, first released in 1978, and it has, it's sort of like, you know, the whatever that doesn't go away. You can hear it. I think the president used it as part of a theme song for his campaign. YMCA, and we're all in a sweat here because we're up bouncing off the walls, doing the hand gestures with YMCA.
Yeah, had you heard that song before, Heidi?
Oh, I have. I actually like that song. It brings a smile to my face and lots of happy memories.
We are talking to Heidi Bohall, the executive director of the Lighthouse YMCA, about that organization and building. I guess, what we were kind of starting to get into there was differences between the YMCA nationwide. Jim, you learned how to swim at the Y in the 50s.
In 1955, I have a little blue ribbon. I remember I had to shoot a basketball, make a basket. I remember on the rings, I had to swing and do different things. And but what a great place for a kid to, you know, I would learn how to swim. And then there was a pool table up in the main lobby and a ping pong table. Just a great place to be on a Saturday in South Bend, Indiana in the 50s.
I believe, my mother can correct me because I think she's listening, that I learned...
Hi, Mrs. Peterson.
I also learned how to swim at the Y, I think.
I do have a distinction to make, a confession to make. I learned how to swim at the YMCA when you didn't have to wear a bathing suit.
Oh, wow.
And that's part of its, you know, that for me was... Yeah, I didn't have to lug around. I had a wet towel, but you know, where did I put my bathing suit? I don't know. No, you just jump in.
Yeah. No, I think I did. I believe I had to wear a bathing suit. I don't really remember.
Oh, but you're Minnesota.
I know.
I was in freewheeling, dealing Northern Indiana. Yeah.
when you mentioned it, I was thinking, boy, I never really went to the YMCA when I was a kid, but I think I learned how to swim there too. And... Then when I was a little bit older, hold on, yep, and then the Edina pool, says my mom. She's sending me messages even as we speak. but then I went to camp, a YMCA camp, for years and years when I was a little older.
I never did that. But, you know, I want to go back to what Heidi was talking earlier with the Long Bridge swim.
Yes.
You know, I grew up feeling comfortable in water. People might find that hard to believe that, you know, I don't go into Lake Pend'Oreille, it's too cold. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but comfortable in bath water.
Yes.
To go swimming in. And, you know, the whole notion of teaming up with the Long Bridge Swim, no child should leave third grade without knowing how to, you know, at least dog paddle in the water. But, you know, I just, you know, when I look back upon my experience of YMCA, you know, now it's not I don't go swimming, but, you know, just simply... feeling comfortable in water, you know, that's something that a child should have.
Definitely, especially in an area where we have so much water surrounding us.
Cold water.
Yeah.
You have a junior lifeguard training program.
Yes, we do. And it kind of depends on staffing, how often we can offer that a year. The last couple of years we've had... two a year. And so kind of the idea there is to get, you know, that tween age, if you will, that middle school age kids to be introduced into some life-saving skills. And so if they take the junior lifeguarding class, they find that interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, then in a couple years, they can apply to be a lifeguard and take the actual course, which, you know, one of the things the Y does is, I mean, that's just a sector of the Y, is that whole life-saving skills. I mean, talk about being a lifeguard is that there's no better way to step into the world of, you know, whether you want to be a paramedic, a firefighter, a doctor, an EMT, any of that. Lifeguarding is a really great place to begin that journey.
What's your relationship like with the city? And I'm thinking especially of we're going into the third summer possibly without lifeguards at City Beach. Are you guys, I mean, I don't know if you have any formal relationship with the city other than the fact that you're located inside city limits.
We have a good relationship with the city, especially the Parks and Rec Department.
I suppose.
And we do work together on some different events, such as the Turkey Trot. We've talked about partnering with the new Russell Center. Mm-hmm. We have talked briefly about any sort of different collaborations we could do to possibly get some lifeguards back at City Beach. Mm-hmm. They have a new, I'm not sure what her title is, but they have someone new overseeing the Parks and Rec Department. And so those conversations have started. I'm not sure what direction they're going in, but hopefully between the city and the YMCA, we will be able, hopefully, no promises, but hopefully be able to get some lifeguards back at City Beach.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to see. Yes, if you can be involved in that process somehow.
Yeah.
You guys are right. You're across from the Russell Center. I mean, is that going to affect your programming at all or anything like that? I mean,
I think if anything, it just provides an opportunity for us to collaborate with the Parks and Rec Department.
Yeah.
Like I said, we have a really good relationship already. And so, you know, just kind of talking about how we can collaborate to meet the needs of the community and the youth, and whatever we need to do, we're willing to do it. And I know that the city feels the same.
It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you did mention while we were playing YMCA a job opening.
Yes. So we do. We have a full-time job opening in our aquatics department. So the position itself is technically an aquatics director, so that person would oversee basically the entire aquatics department, so overseeing the lifeguard program, overseeing hiring of lifeguards and supervising staff, as well as swim lessons, basically anything that goes on in mm-hmm. the pool area.
And where does one get an application form? Can one do it online or?
Yes. So same as before, you're welcome to visit the website YMCAINW, like inlandnorthwest.org, or you can call the front desk 208-263-6633, or just stop in and talk to someone at the front desk.
I do know that throughout the year, the Lighthouse YMCA does things around events. Anything special around Valentine's Day coming up?
Well, I do believe, if I'm correct, that February is Heart Health Month.
Okay.
And so we have, if you're a member at the YMCA, there is an app on your phone that you can download. And on that app, there will be a health challenge for the entire month of February. So you get points for, you know, working out, exercising, different things. You can collect different points. And depending on how many times you do this in the 1 month period, and then there's a prize. So that's kind of what we're focusing on for February. We might be offering a community-wide, it's not necessarily a CPR certification course, but we wanted to kind of offer some sort of a first response skill set. What do you do in case of an emergency? Kind of just a CPR sampler, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's been a lot of people in our community. As you know, you go out in the summertime, you're out in the woods. Sometimes your cell phone doesn't work. You can't always call 911. And we want to make sure that people feel prepared to respond when things like that happen.
Indeed. Well, important work that the YMCA is doing. The cell phone doesn't always work is absolutely right. It seems like, yeah, as soon as you get out of town just a little bit, there's always, you kind of lose that. We've got Brendan waiting in the wings. I wanted to ask, Panada.
Let's ask a few more questions, and then we'll bring Panada in.
What do you got, first of all, I'm gonna hold this one. We're going to have you back, Heidi, because I want to talk about
definitely
just the differences between the YMCA nationwide, which you kind of came in and mentioned that it's different everywhere. I think between Seattle, Minneapolis, Indiana, and everywhere else does it a little bit differently. And I'm curious to hear more about that. But that might be a bigger topic that we save for next time. You have an MFA program. That's yes. Master of Fine Arts. No.
Almost.
Okay. What is the MFA program?
So our MFA program, it's our membership for all program. Mm-hmm. And to put it in simplified terms, we never want to turn anybody away from having access to health for inability to pay. So basically what that means, call it a sliding scale, call it a subsidized program. I like to refer to it as a pay it forward program. So basically we operate on an income based. So if you come in and you make under $55,000 a year, you are eligible for a lower rate. And the way that works is a couple of things. So we have the typical sliding scale. And then additionally, let's say you're a single mom, who just recently became single, all of a sudden found herself who doesn't have a job. And as you can imagine, like being in a situation like that is probably not the most inspiring position to be in. So if you came into the Y and you're saying, hey, I'm in a tough position right now and it would really benefit me to be able to come in here, connect with others, make some healthy choices. Gosh, I'd love to have a spot I could have my kiddo go and be safe while I go work out or, interact with other adults. We will work with that person on a price point that works for them. With the understanding that, hey, we're going to check back in about 3 to 6 months and we're going to see where you're at. And maybe at that point you can pay a little bit more and maybe you'll be a little more back on your feet. And those dollars come from donations made by people in our community that help that program thrive and continue.
The MFA program. Okay.
Yes.
So just head into the YMCA and talk to somebody about it.
You can. And one more thing that I wanted to point out was we do have something that we call our insurance-based memberships as well. And so if your insurance, it's typically for seniors, if your insurance is included in one of our plans, it pretty much will pay for your entire membership most of the time. Don't quote me on that. It's definitely different for each insurance. But definitely swing on by and see if that's something that your insurance pays for.
That is at Lincoln and Pine here in beautiful Sandpoint, Idaho.
Do you have any kind of events coming up that you want to bring to the public's attention? Sometimes you have, like, I went to a family open house, I think in December or something. It was very cool.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
So, I mean, coming up I can think of off the top of my head, we will be having, when is Easter? I mean, I think that's the next major holiday,
hold on.
Right?
I'll find it. It's in April, I think, right? Isn't it always in
April? It's coming up.
Always in April. I think March 4th is Fat Tuesday, so it's 40 days after that. Hold on.
April I see Palm Sunday is the 20th.
Okay.
I could see it from the across 20th. The room.
20th of April.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, in between now and Easter, we'll have parents' night out, movie nights. We have art programs for kids. We have all sorts of things that are going on. We have our typical swim lessons, all that. But then Easter, we're going to have our our annual Easter egg hunt in the pool, so you can jump in the pool and get your Easter eggs, and it's a really fun time for the entire family. We usually bring in some bounce houses. You know, we do kind of a carnival theme, so that's always really fun for the community, and it is open to the community, not just members.
Okay. Well, marvelous. That's what's coming up. We've been talking to Heidi Bohall, the executive director of the Lighthouse YMCA. Yes, Jim?
I was going to say, will you come back again?
Oh, I would love to come back. Good, because I'm always eager to talk about the YMCA.
There's a lot to be talked about in terms of its role in the community and the programs and the machines that it provides.
Mm-hmm. We're going to play a short song by Doc Watson. And bring our friend Brendan Kelty in from the Panetta Theater.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi, so much. Come back.
Stick around. I think at 9 o'clock we're going to play Bird Note and then also have POAC come in, the Pondre Arts Council. Mm-hmm. They have their upcoming performing arts series is this weekend, is tomorrow night, actually. So stay tuned. We'll talk to POAC in just a minute after we talk to Brendan. Long morning show today. Thanks for listening.
Shoulder up your gun and whistle up your dog. Shoulder up your gun and whistle up your dog. Off to the woods for to catch a groundhog. Oh, groundhog. Run here, Sally, with a 10-foot pole. Run here, Sally, with a 10-foot pole. To twist this whistle pig out of his hole. Oh, groundhog.
That was Doc Watson. The song was called Groundhog from The Essential Doc Watson, and it is coming up on Groundhog Day on February 2nd. It's always on February 2nd, I think. But
I don't know. Let me check while you talk with Brendan.
Anyway, February 2nd is Groundhog Day. It used to be, I know a little bit about Groundhog Day. I think it used to be also at different times in different parts of the country. Hmm. We've kind of settled on February 2nd now as the official nationwide Groundhog Day. And that happens to be this Sunday. So I played a little song called Groundhog by Doc Watson. And now we're here in the Tiki Room. We said good morning to Heidi Bohall in a goodbye kind of a way. And now we're saying good morning to Brendan Kelty.
Hey.
Naples.
Good morning.
In a hello kind of a way from the Panetta Theater. Talking about what's going on down the street.
Yes, sir.
At the Panetta. What is on what's on the menu for the Panetta Theater coming up this week or so?
Well, what a segue, Jack. You know what I mean? So Groundhog Day takes us into the first of our Sunday cinema series.
Uh-huh.
Still a $5 film, but Groundhog Day with Bill Murray.
Yes.
1993 classic. Uh-huh. And we're having two showings of those, 1 p.m. and 6.
Yeah.
And that's, again, this Sunday.
It's what a good movie that is. I think I might make it out to that one. We'll see. See if I can.
You know, I was just thinking about what a run Bill Murray's been on since, I don't know, the 80s, the 70s?
Since SNL.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, that this little stretch of Groundhog Day, you had Caddyshack, you had What About Bob, you had
the
number in there.
The classic Murray series there was pretty good. Groundhog Day is one of the... Yes, go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to ask, is the afternoon showing closed captioned?
Sure is. Yep, 1 p.m. showing is closed captioned, which is great for folks hard of hearing or who just, you know...
Excuse me, what?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Is that that's usually how you do it?
Typically, yeah. Okay. If we're doing two showings, the afternoon is usually a closed caption.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went to the afternoon matinee of the last movie, and I did not notice any captions. It was there because there's no dialogue. I didn't even think about it. It was
The Beavers movie.
The Beavers. Hundreds of Beavers. I went and saw it, and I was like, I think I would have noticed if there were captions.
Uh-huh.
Nope. But there's no dialogue in the movie. Anyway, sorry.
That works.
That was fun.
My kids love that movie, by the way. There were some mixed reviews out there. Some people didn't appreciate the different kind of setup, but some loved it. I've heard both sides.
I was talking to, just last night, I was talking to another couple of people who went, and it was divided between the couple. One liked, or one liked, one didn't. I thought that movie, if we're going to go back and do a review, I mean, it's pretty dumb and silly, but I certainly had tears in my eyes from laughter a couple of times.
Oh, great.
You know, hey. I thought it... Yeah, absolutely. That
best $5 you ever spent.
Worth the price of admission for sure. It was it was very funny in yes, in parts.
Cool.
It, actually, the whole thing was pretty funny. I think I give it a thumbs up. The Hundreds of Beavers.
Awesome.
Did you have to go to that one, Jim?
No, I.
You skipped it.
No, I've seen it on YouTube.
Oh, you did. Okay, yeah. Never mind.
All right. Enjoyed it.
Yeah. Funny movie.
But the thing is about closed captions, I don't know if you do it often enough, but it'll say something like, in parentheses, quiet music playing. Stuff like that. So one could have had.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Nice.
Groundhog Day, do we have anything more to say about that movie other than it's great?
And just Bill Murray. That's pretty much what you need to know there. And
yeah.
Come on out.
You've seen it, Jim, I assume?
Pardon?
Have you seen Groundhog Day?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sneaky one where I remember when Groundhog Day came out and it was like, oh, here's another Bill Murray comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of gone on to be this. Now it's considered
a classic,
a classic, mm-hmm. not just a classic comedy, but like one of the great movies ever made, I think.
Really?
Well, it was a very original premise, you know, and there are certainly like religious connotations and stuff. There's depth to it that you don't necessarily expect or see the first time that you watch the movie. That's Groundhog Day, 1993, coming soon to the Panda Theater.
And again, I just want to touch on our Sunday cinema series. So we are kind of gathering our local businesses to help us kind of put those shows on. So sponsors. Right now we have Ben Richards, financial advisor with Merrill Lynch. We've got McNeil Family Dental, and we've got Retro Arcade in the Cedar Street Bridge. Yeah. So those folks are helping us out. We're going to push them through our media outlets, and just a great kind of collaboration with local business. So if you're interested out there, give us a ring. We'd love to.
And the phone number is?
We'd love to feature you, 263-9191.
Well, what else is coming up at the Panda Theater? You guys have a big before the next time. No, it'll be actually on the day the next time we talk to.
Yeah, well, we'll just mention it. But we do have a community board meeting coming up on February 6th, which is a Thursday, 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And come find out what's happening at the Panda from the board and the staff, as well as some of the potential lobby renovation plans.
Yes.
So come, all are welcome.
And that evening will be, or yeah, I guess there's going to be a decision, some kind of decision made, hypothetically.
I believe there's a vote. I think the final type of conversation will be happening that day. And then whether the board makes it there on the spot, the decision there on the spot, or later behind closed doors, I'm not positive how they exactly are going to do it. But and of course you're going to talk to POAC about their upcoming
The Living Voices
on
so Friday.
We don't need to hash that up, but I've always POAC is bringing it with some excellent events, and this one will be no different.
Today's Thursday. Is that performer in town yet? Have you guys been doing anything with it? Any I don't know. Do you guys do a dress rehearsal or something?
Well, interestingly, the actress, her name's Elizabeth. She'll be putting on something at the high school, I believe.
At
12 or 12:30.
They always do something. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. which is fantastic. And then later on that evening, she'll be coming to the Panada.
Cool. It's 9 o'clock, meaning it's time for Bird Note. Did we cover all the big ones for the weekend?
And we sure did. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Brendan. Okay, I guess we'll play Bird Note and we'll go see if somebody's here from
POAC. We'll see if POAC representatives are here. If not, we'll say a little bit about it. We could talk about my folk show tonight.
We have that to talk about.
We've got that to talk about. So thank you very much, Brendan, for coming in.
More morning show coming up after 9 o'clock. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.